This recording is from Willow Creek Church in Winter Springs, Florida, where Dr. Pete Allinson is our senior pastor. Today's sermon is part 13 in the Offensive Christianity series. This message is titled Jabez Revisited. It's taken from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Now here's Pete with today's message.
Father, we do come into your presence this morning and worship you. We do recognize, as we have sung, that you are the King. You are the only King of heaven and earth. You are the one who created this thing by thinking about it and by speaking your words. You are the only God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the only Savior of the world. And we come today and worship you and pray to you. Lord, we do confess that oftentimes we haven't treated you as the King, but we've thought of ourselves as the kings and queens of our lives. And so we come to you today just looking at the cross, needing to be right with you as we start another week. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives, Lord, and we need you. Lord, we come into your presence, and having sung about the reality that you are a king, some of us honestly struggle. We wouldn't tell anybody, but Lord, some of us are here today still reeling from things that have gone on in our lives, and we wonder, how can you be the king and allow that to happen? How can you still be in charge, almighty, omnipotent, surprising in the works that you do? We're surprised that you allow certain things, Lord, and we come to you today and humble ourselves because we don't have all the answers. We just know that we need you. And in the midst of our pain and confusion, we ask for you to work in our lives, healing our hearts, giving us hope for the future. We come before you. Lord, some of us need physical healing. Many, David, Rex, John, and Corey, and Rich, and Brett. Some here today, but they still need healing in a physical way that only you can do. And we give them to you, Lord. Father, what a privilege to have an educational system like we have, and that school is starting this week. And so we thank you that our students will grow intellectually. May they also grow spiritually. May this be an incredible year for them of growth. But Lord, thank you also for our teachers. This church has been blessed with so many incredible teachers. Lord, would you use them and encourage them to transform lives, to bring in the way that they can, and only how your Spirit could do that, building into young lives. Use them for another year, Lord, as you have put them in the right place, the right time. And while we ask that our ministry here be a mission to many people, we pray for our ministries overseas, our missionaries. And we thank you for the Lottmans, and that they're with us today, and that they'll be sharing their testimony soon, what's going on. How we pray that you would extend your kingdom all over the world. Lord, as we look into your word now, we ask you for your people's sake, for Israel's sake, that you would bring peace. We pray today for the peace of Jerusalem, for your power to extend into the Middle East in a way that will bring the name of the Messiah to many who don't know. We pray for the end of evil and terror and for the establishment of your kingdom on earth. Would you establish it in our hearts now as we look into your word? So we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, take them and turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, a familiar verse for many of you as we look today at Jabez Revisited, the prayer of Jabez. What's that all about? It's an interesting prayer. It's an important prayer. It's a prayer that will remind us really not to focus more on ourselves. And some of us have thought of the prayer of Jabez as a selfish prayer. I like the story of the dad who was driving his kids to McDonald's one morning. They're going to get something to eat on before school, And they saw an accident, and the father said something like, hey, pray for those people. And the little boy stopped, and he said, Lord, please don't let those cars block the entrance to McDonald's. I like that. Because when it comes to prayers, our prayers are usually for ourselves and our life. Don't you struggle with just yourself? I mean, not as messed up as you are, or you're not as messed up as me, but we all struggle about our own lives. We put our own requests for God almost all the time. A man dialed a phone and got the following recording. I'm not available right now, but thank you for caring enough to call. I'm making some changes in my life. Please leave a message after the beep. If I do not return your call, you're one of the changes. could have said it better. But we do tend to be out for ourselves. And as we look at the prayer of Jabez, which is a prayer that has been highly criticized, that's why I want to look at it, because it is a prayer really that it fits in this series that we've been doing of offensive Christianity, not how we can become more offensive in the way we relate to people, but how we can stay aggressively serving Jesus. It's one of those verses that keeps us moving in the right direction. Contrary to what it seems, keeps us from being so self-focused. But that was the criticism of the prayer of Jabez. How many of you have heard of the prayer of Jabez written by Bruce Wilkinson? You ever heard that? But yeah, a lot of. I preached on this before, and so a lot of people have been critical of. A lot of people like it, by the way. They love that, and they pray it every day now. But it got criticized because some Christians said that Wilkinson's book said that if you just want something badly enough and you name it, you claim it, you frame it, you outline it in Jesus' name, here's the kicker, if you have enough faith, God will give it to you. You see, and so if you don't get that car, if you don't get that house, you don't get that job, you don't get that healing, it's your fault. You know, you might have named it right. You might have used Jesus' name, but if you didn't have enough faith, it's your own fault. And so they were saying that Wilkinson wrote this book in that way. And I say, no, I don't know Wilkinson, but I know his seminary. I know his background. I know that's not what he was saying. So I've always challenged that. So today we're going to look at it because this verse is going to keep you following Jesus. It'll help you in your faith, keep you aggressive for Him. And this is the definitive exegesis on this text and the proper application of it as we look at it together. Here it is, 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. This is God's word for us today. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. This is a good prayer and it's a model prayer. And there's two big points. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel and Jabez asked for God's blessing. Let's look at that together. He prayed to the God of Israel. Notice how it starts. And really we see that in verse 10, but we've got to look at verse 9 and clear up this whole Jabez thing. Jabez means what? It means pain. You cannot change the original Hebrew interpretation of Jabez. It doesn't mean sort of hurt. It means pain. Could you imagine naming your child you're in the hospital. You're about ready to give birth. What should we name him? I don't know, honey. This hurts a lot right now. Let's name him Pain. Women, we've had 3 kids. I know what you're like when you're giving birth. It isn't pretty, man. I mean, you guys are mean and nasty. And if we ever believed in Satan, he shows up at childbirth. I want you to know. And so you don't name somebody at a crucial time when you're in exceedingly great pain like that. That's what they did. Pain. How in the world? Now, why is this so? Why does this come up in Chronicles? Let me give you a little history. This is so important. Yeah, because if you look at Chronicles chapter 1 all the way through chapter 9, if you do that, I give you 3 free sins today. I want you to know. 9 chapters of names. Hebrew names that most of us don't even know how to pronounce. 9 chapters of names. Did I say nine chapters of names that go all the way back to Adam? And then you get to this one. And he stops and he gives a little paragraph about him. Two verses about Jabez. He has to explain. Something stops the chronicler. We don't know who it was. Was it Samuel? Maybe. We don't know who the chronicler was. But he stops at Jabez and has to explain. Now, let me tell you why he has to explain something about Jabez. Because his name is Pain. That's why. That's the only reason. When we come to the series that we've been looking at, we've been kind of going Genesis through the Old Testament. We went through the first five books of Moses. We've looked at the time of the Pentateuch. We looked at the time of the judges. We hardly looked at the time of the kings as we talked about David. But when you come to 1 Chronicles, the time of the kings is over. Because Israel has been taken into captivity. Three dates that you need to know to get into heaven. All right, you don't need to know them, but they can help you a lot. In 722 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity by Assyria. And the time of the kings ended in the 10 northern tribes of Israel. In 586 BC, the Babylonians came over, did the same things to the southern two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, took them into captivity, took most of the leaders, most of the business people, most of the educated people, and they left a few people in Israel, but took them into captivity. 539 BC. Here's another date. 722, 586, 739. 539. The king of Persia says Israel can go home. The king of Persia says, Israel, you can go back. You can go back to Jerusalem. You can establish your kingdom again. And so they all started flooding back. Names like Zerubbabel. You've heard of the rebuilding of the wall under Nehemiah. You've heard of Ezra. Those were the names associated with the post-exilic times. They're coming back to Israel, rebuilding the kingdom. You say that happened in 1949. Yeah, that was another coming back to Israel. This was the first coming back to Israel. And the big question that they were all struggling with was this. As we go back, who is God going to bless? And what are our responsibilities? How is God going to bless us? And so the chronicler wrote the book of Chronicles to show. Here's the purpose of it. You ready? To show that only if the people of Israel follow the king who is in the line of David, will they ever receive the blessings of God? If Israel is going to be reestablished as a nation, they have got to follow a king who follows David, because God has said, I'm only going to bless the Davidic line. And so the chronicler is showing how and who is the true king until he gets to the name Jabez, which means pain. And then he says, I got to explain this, because he's trying to prove that the Davidic line is authoritative, ought to be followed. And here he's saying, man, here's a guy whose name was Pain. Is there something we need to know about him? Does he deflect from the glory and authority of David? Is he the blemish on David's reputation? And the chronicler explains about it. He says, no, as a matter of fact, when you really understand Jabez, verse 9, notice that he is more honorable than his brother. Not less honorable. He doesn't take away from David's character or David's authority. He adds luster to it. In other words, his name does not reflect his character. His character has outstripped his name. Good thing. Good thing. He wasn't a pain. And I still struggle with this. You know, I mean, kids are a pain, aren't they? You can say it here and be honest in church. Some of you are saying that's not very spiritual. It's just true. At times, they are a pain. I would never name my kid this, though. When I get home, I'm going to find out. But Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Why? The prayer. First of all, it says, he cried out to the God of Israel. Guys, this is the thing. He cried out to God. He prayed to God because he knew there was nobody else to pray to that was worth your time praying. He prayed out to the God of Israel. At this point, Jews and Christians have a lot in common, don't we? Because we believe in one God. We believe there's only one God. And we believe that there is only one God to pray to. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Exodus, the Ten Commandments. Then the Lord God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." What's the first commandment? "You shall have no other gods before me." God is a jealous God. He says, I'm the only true God. And the world hates us saying that we agree with that. What the world wants us to do is to say that there is many ways to God. The Israelites could not say that. Because the Israelites could say there's only one God, and he defines how you enter a relationship with him. Christians are the same. We believe in one God. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." It would be nice to be able to say there are many ways to God, but we as Christians have to affirm what Jabez affirmed. There's only one God to pray to, and there's only one God. Now, that doesn't mean we're mean, nasty, and horrible to people who disagree with us. I've never met a Christian. Now, maybe there were in history. In the Crusades, there definitely were. But none of you have ever come up and told me you had an evangelistic experience where you're sharing Christ with somebody and you said, "Listen, accept Jesus now or I'll take your head off. And if you do, I'd like to talk to you about that," because we're not like that. We don't rule with the sword. We don't extend our kingdom with the sword. We extend the kingdom with God's grace. Isn't that the way it is? So we invite people to Christ. We persuade people that Jesus is the only way. We give reasons for that. But we love them even if they disagree with us. Right? We're a crossroads here in Winter Springs. That's what we want to be. We want to be a place where people can come. You know, we're going to have Winter Springs Basketball League here, practice there. We want them to play here. We're going to have a bookstore. We want people to come and use it, buy some coffee. We want them to enjoy. We want you to come here, hang out. We don't want to drive people away, say turn or burn. We want to love them and show them the grace of God. That's what we're about. There's only one God. And there's only one God who is worth praying to. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of David, the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you pray? I want you to know I pray a whole lot more when we got a project like that going on. When I'm over my head, you know, it's great in theory and vision. I'm a big picture person. I'm like, "Lord, wouldn't this be great?" And then I get a pit in my stomach. "Yeah, but are you going to bless it? It's too late for that." I mean, we're out there. The Teddy Roosevelt quote, you know, "Better to fail greatly while daring greatly." I live that every day. I say that going to myself, "Lord, if I fail, it's going to be doing something big, you know." Makes me pray when I'm in over my head. Steve Brown has a theory about prayer because a lot of people don't pray. He says unbelievers don't pray sometimes because they're afraid God might not might actually be there. And he says that Christians don't pray because they might actually believe he isn't. Do you pray? I pray more when I'm in trouble. But there's only one God to pray to. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jabez was honorable because he knew how to pray, was a man of prayer, but he prayed to the true God. Secondly, notice that Jabez called on God for blessing, and this is the controversial place. Did you feel a little squeamish when you were singing with Jeff, and it said, "God bless me"? Did you feel? Some of you were saying, "Oh yeah, that's what I need. I need your blessing." Some of you were saying, "I feel a little guilty praying that." Jabez prayed that God would extend his territory, that his hand would be with him, that he would keep him from harm. Is the prayer of Jabez a prayer that says, Lord, give me a bigger hacienda? Somebody after the first service said, you know, I realized that if I prayed, God, give me more territory, I'd have to mow the lawn. In Florida, that's a liability. I said, how about a condo at the beach? They said, now that would be cool. So, you know, is it a selfish thing? No. Because if you look at the Bible and the whole message of the gospel, you come to the New Testament, what did Jesus teach us to pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, prayer of Jabez is not right, they say, because Jesus said, pray for God's will, not my will. How about 1 John 5:14 and 15? If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we request, we know that we have the request that we desired of him. Yeah. But notice the nuance there. If we ask anything according to his will, James says the same thing. You can read this later, James 4:13. James, the brother of Jesus, he could hammer us. He said, come now, you who say, today I'm going to go to Orlando and I'm going to start a new business. It's in the original Greek. Go to Orlando, start a new business, and God is going to bless us big time, and we're going to have all this stuff. He says, nah, what you ought to say is, if God wills it. Yes, the critics, if Jabez was saying that, the critics are right. That's how we're supposed to pray. There's only one way to pray. But Jabez is praying. Now, here's the key. All of that leads up to this. Jabez prays as a son of the covenant of Israel. He would not be seen as more honorable than his brothers if he was just praying for more stuff. He prays as an Israelite who is linked into the kingdom work of God. He is more honorable because he's extending the kingdom of his father David. He says, Lord, enlarge my kingdom, because enlarge my territory. You give me more, you get more. More people will be affected. That's what Jabez is actually praying. And I know that because last week when we looked at Solomon, Solomon didn't ask for money and stuff. He asked for what? Wisdom. God honored him. And so here he says to us, as you and I ally ourselves with the kingdom of God, we ask him, enlarge my territory. Give me more so that you would get more. Listen, there isn't a day I wake up and say, Lord, please subtract a few people from Willow Creek. Send a couple to hell. Lord, could we please not reach other people for Christ? To say that is heresy. See, what we're about is the kingdom. Now, all that we're doing and building is about the kingdom. It's going to last beyond us. It's going to go way beyond us of reaching families, of bringing the gospel to other people who need it, to help people who grew up in families without strong leadership, maybe even without a father or mother, to find the father that they've needed in God. Jesus taught us to pray our Father who art in heaven. We want to be a crossroads, a place where people who've been had their marriage blown up, can find friendships and relationships. For people who aren't even sure God exists, to come here and say, really? Here's my questions. And then we can answer them and help them. And even if they don't agree, we can love them. So the reality is we are praying. And if you pray, God bless me like crazy, so that I can extend your kingdom, you are praying the prayer of Jabez. Because that's what he was saying. As a daughter and son of the covenant of grace, you're asking to extend the kingdom of God. He teaches us to pray. By the way, isn't it cool to note that it's okay to pray, God, keep me from pain. Keep me from suffering. Keep me from trial. If you guys are praying for pain, you need to sign up for one of our Stevens ministers. Oh, Lord, bring pain into my life. Something's wrong. We still do that. But we will suffer pain, won't we? You look around and there's some people who seem like they got it all. In fact, there are a lot of Psalms like this. They're driving great cars. They got great jobs. Their marriages look good. Their kids look wonderful. You say there's no sin, no depravity, no hostility, no problem. If I could violate confidential confessions, I'd tell you it isn't all that it seems. And we will suffer. Coming to Christ doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer and have pain and have trials. You will, but you can pray that you won't. And who knows? God may take some of the pain that could be, take it away and keep it from happening. He's big enough to do that. All right, some of you are saying, well, did Jabez's prayer happen? Did it work? He prayed that he would enlarge the territory, that the kingdom of David would extend, expand, and it would be wonderful, it would be great. Did it work? When they came back from exile, did the kingdom of God get extended in a powerful way? Did they grow to become as mighty a nation as they did under David? Answer, no. The return from the exile was miserable. And they ended up, see, what happened is they ended up being let go by the Persian king, but then later other kings came, notably Alexander the Great. Notably the Romans, in the time of Jesus. Did their kingdom ever get there? No. But here's the cool thing. The kingdom was inaugurated when Jesus came. Because as we read the birth narratives of Jesus in Matthew and Luke at Christmas time, remember we read all those genealogies and all of that? Who is Jesus? He is a son of David. He is a king. And he inaugurates the kingdom of God. Jesus was walking along the road one day and somebody said, when is God's kingdom coming? He says, and you see people healed? You see blind see? The kingdom of God is here. He inaugurated the kingdom. Is the kingdom still here? Sure, it's carrying on through the church of Jesus today. Acts 28, 23, you can read them later. But Paul went around, Peter and all those guys after the resurrection, what they went around talking about was the kingdom of God is here and it's being extended. How? Through the church. Church universal. And when Jesus comes again, it will be established. The king will be here. And the kingdom will be established. What? Revelation. What's that all about? Hey, the king's coming back. You're worried about, is it amillennialism, premillennialism, postmillennialism? I'm into panmillennialism. That means it'll all pan out in the end. I have a view, and my view is right, but what I want you to know is that Jesus wins. That's the bottom line of Revelation. The kingdom will be established, and we're in the kingdom now. And so here's the application. Real quick, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're in the kingdom. You're the king's daughter and son. He paid for your sins. You're in the kingdom. Do everything you can to pray the prayer of Jabez. Just ally yourself with the king and his aspiration. Someone said, I could be doing big things if I weren't doing small things. Do big things. For the kingdom. Do small things for the kingdom. I don't care. Just ally yourself with the king and his kingdom. It's the only thing that's going to last. The minister was golfing one day, and he was having a bad day. Like days I used to have. Why, I don't golf anymore. I couldn't golf and still be a Christian at the same time. He was having one of those days. And so he was out there and got into the sand trap, took his club, bent it over his knee, didn't say a word. Went over to his bag, took out his pocket knife, shredded it. Shredded the bag on the golf bag. Took out the rest, didn't say a word. Took the rest of the clubs, threw them into the lake. Said, I have got to quit. And his friends said, golf? He said, no, the ministry. Yeah. Man, how we get our priorities off. I do too. We live in such a cool place. I get my priorities off all the time. I bought something yesterday, fueling my materialistic urges. And
the lady in the store went on and on and on about how bad their business was going and how much she hadn't made and how life hadn't really turned out the way she wanted it to. I frankly didn't know what to say because I'd been working on this message. I wanted to say, well, you're obviously not naming it and claiming it in Jesus' name. I didn't. Ally yourself with the king and his kingdom. And, oh, Jesus said something similar. He said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You're going through a difficult time? Seek the king and his kingdom. It's the only thing that's going to last. Maya Angelou, the author and poet, was once asked how she became so successful. And she said, you know, I gained a confidence because every time I came into the room, my father was sitting there, and every time I came into the room, his eyes would brighten. Because Jesus has gone to the cross. Every time you come before the Father, his eyes brighten. You're his. He's so glad you're his. He's got plans for you. I don't know what they are. Just ally yourself with the king, and all these things will be added to you. You take it to heart. Let's pray. If you're not a Christian, you know, and you want to find out more, I'd love to talk to you this week or after the service. If your heart is saying you want a relationship with a living God, we want to introduce you to him. We'd love to talk to you. Come up here, we'll pray or whatever, talk to you this week. But don't leave him out of your life. Lord Jesus, we gather in your presence now and we pray. As we deal with our broken hearts, as we deal with the things that haven't worked out, we pray that, Lord Jesus, you would just help us to be connected to your kingdom and you would be honored and glorified in our lives. As we live another week before you, in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Willow Creek Church is associated with the Presbyterian Church in America. Our website is www.willowcreekchurch.org and our phone number is 407-699-8211.